WATT-FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATT. Streaming online at 95.9WATT.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATT.
This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Christine James, and we are live tonight. I'm joined by reporter Charles Mathewson and Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi. He'll be here momentarily asking questions. This race tonight, it's for the 1st Plymouth District. We've got the incumbent Republican, Matt Moratori. Good evening.
Good evening.
And the challenger Democrat, Stephen Michael Palmer, the winner of the primary election. They're both looking to win in the general election this fall. Now, timing you all, we have our own Lenny Rowe. And you gentlemen have been here before. You know what that means. Green means go. Yellow means you've got 10 seconds. Red means stop. Then I'll give you the 5-second countdown if you're still speaking. You get the bell, and after that, we cut the mic. So you're both pretty good about sticking to times. Now, our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready. Your opening statement, no longer than 2 minutes. Your closing statement, no longer than 1 minute. And answers to the questions, 1 minute, please. We also have a lightning round. This is very specific from the reporters. They'll ask you a yes or no. Yes or no question, and that's yes or no without an explanation, or they'll ask for one or two sentences. So we try to ask people to really just stay on topic, get to the point, and try to keep your answers to a concise minimum. Now, we just chose the opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie, and we're going to begin with Stephen Michael Palmer, then go to Matt Moratori, and we'll switch that order when we get to the end. So good evening and welcome, Stephen Michael Palmer.
Good evening. My name's Stephen Michael Palmer. I'm here to Democrat for the 1st Plymouth. I'm not here to talk about troublesome international affairs, or I'm here to talk of the large domestic problems and the consideration in our nation's capital. Those problems of the world seem to us large, incomprehensible, unmanageable, out of touch with our day-to-day lives. What I am here today to talk of the large domestic problems and the consideration in our nation's capital. Those problems of the world seem to us large, incomprehensible, unmanageable, out of touch with our day-to-day lives. I am a Democrat. I'm looking for a new Democratic Party. I can't see why they have people that vote for the same old political network. We need a new party system. The fact is that I was contemplating not coming tonight. Fact was, is when I ran against Bulger in 1990, he didn't show up, and I got 47% of the vote. And the inkling, he asked me if I wanted a job, and I told him that my father didn't bring me up to be a hack. Now, the last time I debated Mr. Moratori, the fact is that I brought up an article in the Patriot Ledger that said that Matt had voted 99% with the Democratic Party. Matt has a big war chest, takes money, and they tell him how to vote. And I'm a little tired of the rhetoric. I'm not sticking around tonight. You can listen to his rhetoric double. He can have my time, and have a good night. Thank you.
So you're going to be joining in the debate tonight? Okay. That was Stephen Michael Palmer's opening comment, and he's decided to leave the studio. So we're not going to break format. We're going to go to Matt Moratori and let him make his opening comment, and then we'll take it from there. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening, Christine, and thank you to you and WATD for hosting this forum. Again, I'm Matt Moratori, resident of Plymouth, proud husband and father to 6 beautiful daughters and a beautiful granddaughter. As co-owner of local daycare center and senior living consulting firm, I'm able to gain a keen sense of the needs of the working families and seniors. I'm grateful to have served on the town of Plymouth as a member of the Finance Committee, the Select Board, and the Center for Active Living. And I'm currently on various boards and organizations such as PAC TV, BID Plymouth, Sunrise Rotary, Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce, Plymouth Youth Development Collaborative, and the Plymouth Regional Economic Foundation. And these experiences have also given me a greater knowledge of our community. As state rep, I serve on various legislative committees, such as the committees on tourism, arts and culture, municipalities and regional government, House Ways and Means, and healthcare financing. Additionally, I've been appointed to many task force and commissions, including the Plymouth Substance Abuse Task Force and the Commission on Human Trafficking. I've been appointed also to the State Commission on the Status of Persons with Disability, the Northeast Fire Protection Commission, and the Non-Emergency Human Services Transportation Task Force. I've maintained a 100% voting record with over 1,800 votes. I've built relationships across the aisle with colleagues throughout the Commonwealth to pass legislation to improve mental health access, housing opportunities, climate preparedness, and legislation to fund the Commonwealth's infrastructure. Millions of dollars have been spent in the Plymouth waterfront over the last several years, and all these investments are attracting visitors and helping propel Plymouth's pandemic economy recover faster than in most communities. I love working as a legislator. I love working in the legislature and hope to be able to continue to build upon all these experiences to help better the lives of residents and further aid in Plymouth's further economic recovery. Thank you for your incredible opportunity and for your consideration to continue to serve this community.
Well, thank you very much. And again, this is something that's never happened before with a candidate, your opponent walking out saying he made his opening statement and that was enough and he was going to leave. So what I'm suggesting, maybe we do a shortened forum and just do some long form questions and just have a conversation with Matt Moratori about where you stand on a lot of the issues so people can get to know you. Again, you made the effort to come here and we appreciate that. We don't want to waste your time or the listeners' time.
No, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
I appreciate you putting this on and all of you taking time out to educate the voters.
Absolutely. It's a good, and I always tell people, because I know that there was some confusion with the last election with the redistricting and additional precincts in Plymouth. If you're not sure you're in Matt's district, it's Plymouth precincts 2A, 3A, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Did I get that right?
I'm not sure about 2A and 3A. What I've been told recently, there's not 1, and 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, okay.
So 1, 2, 3, and 5, and 13 are not my district. Everything else is.
Oh, okay.
It's an easy way to do it.
I'll have to tell. I got that from the Secretary of State.
To make it more clear.
Yeah.
It's not North Plymouth.
It's not North Plymouth, right.
Okay.
And one precinct in West Plymouth.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
that's correct.
Let's start and talk about some general topics. Charles Mathewson, what issue would you like to talk about a little bit with Matt Moratori?
Do you have a second opening statement?
I can make one up if you'd like. No.
Plymouth is a tourist destination, like an island to the south of us here. What would you do if the governor of Florida
diverted migrants here?
Well, I would do like my colleagues are doing right now on the Vineyard and Cape Cod. They're helping these people out. You know, this has become a political issue, and it shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be a state issue either. This is a federal issue. Immigration is a federal issue, and it needs to be dealt with. And it's not a Republican or a Democratic issue. It needs to be dealt with. And I'm glad to see what my colleagues on the Cape and the islands are actually doing and helping these people out. I also think, though, that having immigrants here help our economy. We all hear that there are plenty of opening on jobs everywhere in a lot of industries, and we need more people to come into our communities to help with these jobs and fill some of these jobs. So it's unfortunate it's become a political issue. It shouldn't be, because we shouldn't be, I don't think we should be dealing with humans the way they've been dealt with.
Any follow-up on that, Shirley? Man, we're not going to time anything. We're just going to have a normal conversation.
Okay. I wish Benny were here.
Me too.
Yeah, Benny was he was here too. So
yeah,
because he would have something to say about this. We are, and particularly your district, with the exception of some Cape Verdeans and Brazilians, a fairly white district. But there are lots of housing units that are vacant right now. You would welcome migrants into those units.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, I think they only strengthen the community and the economy as well. So I think it'd be definitely welcomed here.
I'm asking you this particularly because you're a Republican, and this has become a nationally and statewide a Republican issue.
I guess I got to stop you there, Charlie. I got to disagree with you on that. Okay. This isn't a Republican issue. This isn't a Democratic issue. This is a humane issue. That's the way I believe, at least. Okay. And this isn't, you know, all Democrats don't feel one way about something. All Republicans don't either. This is about dealing with human beings and the way they're dealt with. And I don't want to make it any more political than what people are trying to make it. We need to actually really, and the governor said this today, the immigration is screwed up in this country, and it has been for years. It's been like this since Biden's been here, Trump was here prior to. We've got in this country figure out a way to get everyone that's here, get them legal. And then you could deal with the border later. I'm not really that concerned about the border at this point, but we need to deal with the people that are here now. So I apologize, but I just don't see it as a Republican or Democratic issue.
No apologies. Yeah. Thankfully, we have an opportunity to have a give and take here. My ancestry is Celtic, and none of my people came here legally. Because there were no quotas when they came.
Right.
I don't know about the Moriturys.
Yeah, they came from Italy, Capri, and half of my relatives came over, and you know they came over as immigrants. And I hear stories, you know, from my dad and my mom when she was alive, and you know of how they were treated as Italians in East Boston, and it was horrendous.
You also had the Irish were coming over right at the same time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was in East Boston.
It was just the stories they would tell me.
Immigrants,
as they were kids, you know, how they were treated as kids by other people. It was, but you know, and I've learned this from Vinny over the years too. Immigrants have built this country.
Yes, of course.
You know, I mean, that's not a Republican or Democrat thing. That's a fact. Yep. That's just a fact. Yep. And they will continue to do that as well. But we need to figure out immigration on a federal level and get that resolved.
Could I ask a question in regards to drinking water? I think the biggest issue we're seeing now, I don't know if this was prior to the drought, but I think the drought has brought it more to light, PFAS. I don't know how often you're speaking with town officials, folks in your district, as to where clean drinking water and water that doesn't have PFAS in it, how it's being filtered out. What are you hearing from residents?
Again, I have, my district is Plymouth, and it's really, you know, middle to South Plymouth. And we're very fortunate with the aquifers we have, and it, you know, water is such a precious resource. So we're not having those type of issues at this point as other communities are.
Okay.
So we are kind of fortunate that way.
And they haven't suffered as far as the drought? There hasn't been a drop in the aquifer?
You know,
the aquifer?
There has been, yeah, there was actually a moratorium put on early on to actually limit the watering and actually eliminate it. A lot of the community that I serve is on wells, it's on well water. And the company that oversees the well water actually did the same thing. You need to put limitations on the use of water.
Wherever the Plymouth Carver aquifer is enormous, but the limit is more on the state permit as how much the town can take out of that aquifer. Mm-hmm. But it's, it's so far enormous, and we haven't had that.
Yeah, we've been lucky, yeah.
How about Silver Lake? Any issues regarding Silver Lake in the city of Brockton? And I mean, how has that been holding up as to the drought? I know that has suffered through past droughts.
Again, I represent Plymouth, but I do hear about what's been happening with Silver Lake and Brockton and the communities in between that are caught in within that. And I've heard from my colleagues about that too. It's not an easy issue, but it's an issue that needs to be dealt with. And I think, and I always believe in getting people in the same room together and, you know, try to work out the issue and try to figure out how to do that.
Chris, I just want to jump in here. I'm going to change the topic for a minute. One of the issues that keeps coming up over and over, whether it's a local issue or a state rep issue, is about the woodlot in Plymouth.
I was just going to ask about the woodlot in Plymouth.
Well, there you go. I beat you to it. Yeah. I see I read your notes. So,
yes, you did.
What are your thoughts on that? Do you think, A, horse racing, whatever happened there, and do you support it? What are your thoughts on the whole woodlot? I'm just curious.
So I've been involved in this since the beginning of it, as you're probably aware, and I've been working with the select board and the people of Plymouth. And my role is to support Plymouth and support the townspeople, to support the board and what they want. It was very clear from the vote that the non-binding question, I think it was 89% of the voters voted, you know, not to have horse track racing there. I was in discussions, you know, with some of the county commissioners, the county treasurer, the folks from Boston South to kind of smooth their way around this, and really then dug into what the regulations really are around this. And it is very clear at this point through the Gaming Commission, and I forget the Mass General Law chapter, but I went to a board of selectmen's meeting about a month ago and talked about this with them. But it's very clear from the statute that it's up to the board of selectmen's vote whether they want some sort of gaming like horse track racing in their community. So the selectmen did take a vote. It was 5-5 vote. They sent it to the Gaming Commission. I've confirmed with the Gaming Commission they actually had that vote, which is fine. Now the difficult part in this whole thing is there's no application filed. So Boston South already knows that how Plymouth feels, and the Gaming Commission knows how Plymouth feels. So my guess is there's not going to be anything filed, an application filed for horse track racing. I don't think they're going to see that happen, at least in the near term. Now, who knows years from now what may happen, but I don't really think that's going to happen now. Because if it does, and I think the new applications for the Gaming Commission should be out by October 1st, mm-hmm. We'll see if Boston South files for an application. Again, I don't think they're going to. If they do, it'll be very clear what the Board of Selectmen will do. And they will vote that down, and then it goes away.
Is this something you're hearing a lot about from constituents?
I am. A little bit. Not as much as I was, you know, a month or two ago. Once I went to the select board meeting, it kind of settled down a little bit. So I really haven't heard a lot more since then. But there is still some concerns. I got a call from a woman who owns a hairdressing shop in Plymouth the other day. She says, one of my constituents said that you said there's going to be a horse track race in here, but you told me there's not going to be one. I said, no, I did. That's right. We've already made it clear. There's not going to be one coming at this point. There's no application filed, and the mm-hmm. board has already voted, and the town has already voted not to have one.
Okay. Just letting folks at home know, this is a political forum, but we had both candidates here tonight for the 1st Plymouth District. We've got the Republican incumbent, Matt Moratori, who we're speaking with. His challenger, Democrat Stephen Michael Palmer, gave his opening statement and then decided he did not want to participate in the forum. So, as they say, he has left the building. So we're having a conversation with Matt Moratori about some of the issues in the district. We're going to go to the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to have some music for your entertainment. But we're just having
a
conversation.
If I may just correct one thing that he did say, though. He said,
okay,
I voted 99% of the time with Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. That's just not true.
Okay. You're definitely free to say that. Okay.
Can we continue with the woodlot issue?
Sure.
I don't think watching this and talking with the people from Boston South that they're 100% attached to horse racing, but they would like to see some form of gambling. Whatever they do, the infrastructure there with the 300 units coming on at Home Depot is really rough. Is there anything we can do with or without development?
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was the other part of this. When this whole thing was going on, And people were, you know, up in arms that there's going to be a horse track racing there, you know, over the summer. I kept telling people, but you have to remember one thing. It's the infrastructure. And I already talked to the Secretary of Transportation, and there's no way that the state was going to put in any money to widen that intersection of the old Exit 5 there, where Home Depot is. And it's not even on their radar screen. And I said to him, well, what if the Boston South Group decided they would pay the multi-millions of dollars to widen it? He says, it's not on our radar screen, and it's not something we're going to do. So you're right. It could not happen without that infrastructure. And I know in my conversations privately with Boston South, they understood that. They understood that the infrastructure needed to be changed.
Two quarters of the four quarters needed for a clover leaf are there, and there's room for a third. Mm-hmm. The fourth, the police station is kind of in the way. The Boston South people tell me, no, it's not.
It can be done. Yeah, it can be done.
It can be done.
Yeah.
If there's money.
If there's money, and we're talking, you know, tens of millions of dollars, and where's that money going to come from? And, you know, again, the state does not have it as a priority. There's other priorities in the Commonwealth. That's just not one of them.
Leads me to a piece of news on a radio station that I heard this morning. I think it was WATD. Bobby Clark interviewed Jared Valenzuela, one of the county commissioners, and he said from his point of view, people were very enthusiastic in Plymouth about some kind of entertainment complex going in there.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard the same thing. I also heard people that are for the horse track racing as well. But the only thing you can go by is what the non-binding question vote was. But yeah, people that I've talked to that didn't want horse track racing, they're fine with an entertainment complex. Now, this is the first I'm hearing about some sort of gambling. I'm hearing, you know, that Boston South wants to do like a ball field and some other things, but I'm not hearing like a casino or something like that.
So if I could just jump in for half a second, I believe that you previously suggested a conference center.
Yes.
But the idea of a conference center.
Yeah.
Would the Woodlot be an ideal place, or is it not a proper place when it comes to infrastructure to build?
I think that's going to be vetted out. As a matter of fact, there's $150,000 that the delegation got for a study for a convention center. Okay. Matter of fact, they're in town. The group that they hired are in town this week. I'll be meeting with them tomorrow morning. And they're meeting with all sorts of stakeholders this coming week. And, you know, that's something they're going to have to vet out, if that's going to be a location. I personally, and this is just me personally, I would love to see it somewhere down the waterfront.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, you have people, you know, business people that come from out of town, you know, and they may not want to drive, but they can get to the hotel and they can walk around the downtown and the waterfront. I think it would be more conducive than the Woodlot.
Is there an ideal parcel of land that would be suitable for that? You can't just have the complex without parking.
Yep.
Will that work?
You know, there was some discussion around Memorial Hall. You may be adding to the back of that and creating that to also have parking as well. I like 225 Water Street, the old Cranberry Ocean Spray building. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's another great location. And we're not talking large. We're talking, you know, mid-size. You know, maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 seat with some exhibits rooms and, you know, conference rooms and other things. So,
shops and things like that. There are a few candidates, but real estate assemblage is a delicate matter, so we won't delve too far into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the ballot questions.
Yes.
Let's start
Are you reading my notes again?
These are my notes right here.
Well, these are my notes right here.
Yeah, but mine are, you can at least read them. Okay, question one. On taxes, a 4% tax on incomes that exceed $1 million for education and transportation purposes. Do you support it or not, the so-called millionaire's tax?
Yeah, no, it's a little deceiving, and I don't support it, and I'll tell you why. First of all, it's not based on a salary of $1 million. If you're you see the commercials coming out now, if you're a farmer, if you're a small business owner, or if you're a retired person and you have a house you want to sell as part of your retirement, that is income. That is declared income. I don't think the $1 million is a right number. I mean, $1 million maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, was different. $1 million is a lot of money at this point. So you're looking at tens of thousands of people that are going to be suffered under this, particularly retirees, small business people, you know, the farmers, et cetera. So and the other part of this is, I don't think the timing's right. We have a surplus of over $2.9 billion that just ended the fiscal year 2022 that we're now going to be giving back to the taxpayers because we have so much money. Mm-hmm. Plus, we have $5.5 billion from the ARPA funds, the federal funds as well. And we have the highest amount of money in the rainy day fund that we've ever had. So I just don't see this at this point, that this is the right thing to do.
Okay.
What is the average value of a house in the district, do you think?
I saw that recently, and I want to say it's somewhere around $450,000, something like that.
That's surprisingly low to me.
Yeah, it could be a little bit higher than that, but around that mark, 500, give or take.
So it's easy to get to $1 million if you have a house to sell.
Easy, and a lot of people, they have 401k. That's another thing that would actually have to be taxed as well. So a lot of people, retirees, going to that point, that's their nest egg they're looking to do. So why are we going to start taking that away from it? It just doesn't make sense to me.
And that money, the money that's, you know, the tax millionaires, that money is going to go towards education? Because is advertising that's saying
that's really going to be the case. I know there was, you know, education and roads and all that. I'm not comfortable that that's exactly where it's going to go. Okay. The legislature can change anything they want.
Sure.
And, you know, again, we don't even need it at this point either. So it just doesn't seem to make sense. I think it's gonna hurt more than it's gonna help. You know, I think if people have in the mind, you know, these CEOs of these large companies, we're gonna get them, we're gonna charge. Mm-hmm. It's not them. It's a drop in the bucket for them. It's gonna hurt the people, like I said, the farmers, the small business people, retirees. That's what's really gonna hurt.
Matt, you have a background in the medical field with skilled nursing. Do you understand question two?
I was at the 25th anniversary of the Plymouth retirees this morning with Kat Lenatra and myself, and this question came up. So I kind of printed something out on it, and I'm still not sure I understand it. But basically, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to get more money to let me just read it. It would regulate dental insurance rates, including by requiring companies who spend at least 83% of the premiums on member dental expenses and quality improvement instead of administrative expenses. So I think they're trying to get away from the administrative expenses. I think that's what the goal of this thing. But it's one of those things that I don't think people are going to really understand it. That would be a yes vote, and a no vote would make no change to the law.
Yeah. And stay tuned to WATD, because I've been talking with a local dentist who does understand this. We'll be doing something on it in a few weeks, because it's totally confusing. I think
it is. And as legislators, are confusing to us as well.
Absolutely. Hey, let's pop ahead to question four, which didn't make it into the red ballot, but that's the red booklet. But that's about they're trying to get with licenses for illegal immigrants. Mm. Do you support that or no? Trying to get that repealed.
No, and I voted against that when it came at the state level as well. And simply because this isn't an immigrant issue as much as how do you deal with everything else around that? Now, talk to registry people. And if you go yourself to go get a license, there's so many documentations you have to bring. So the registry people say, well, what are we going to be looking at? You know, we don't know what a passport looks like from another country. And in there's so many countries. So they're confused on how they're going to be able to do this. But the biggest part of this whole thing, and they haven't been able to figure this out yet, or at least tell us how they figured it out yet, is the registration part. Because my kids just got their license, and they automatically get registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. You get your license, you get registered to vote. So how do you actually prevent that from happening? So that was some of this. So the whole process really, I think the premise is the right premise, and keep people safe and, you know, make sure they have insurance and all that. But I think the whole process hasn't been thought out well enough.
So let's ask one more question, and then we're going to let Matt make his closing statement.
But Charlie wants to do the whole hour by himself.
Yeah.
To the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to.
Well, we could. Let's go back. One, two, question three, liquor licenses. It looks to me like a boondoggle for people who already have more than seven licenses.
Yeah, that's another one I'm not really quite understanding and why, and more importantly, why we need this. I don't understand it either.
I think it sounds like
the major, like the Walmarts and the Stop and Shops and all that want to have, you know, liquor in their stores. It sounds like you do in other parts of the country, like Florida. You don't find a liquor store in Florida. You go to a Walmart or something like that, and that's
Publix.
That's where you find this stuff. So it sounds like that's what this is. But that's going to hurt the small business, the liquor stores that are already in place.
We're reading that the same way, with the exception of it would allow out of state IDs.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Which would be
that's a good thing.
It would be a very good thing for Plymouth.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go to Matt Muratore's final statement here. For folks who've been listening, this was a political forum with the incumbent Republican for the 1st Plymouth District, Matt Muratore, his Democratic challenger, Stephen Michael Palmer, who made his opening statement and then decided he was not going to stay, and so he left the building. We've been having a nice conversation with Matt to find out where he stands on just some of the issues. Matt, your closing statement to our listeners.
Thank you again, Christine, and again for WATD for hosting this forum and to our listeners for tuning in. We are facing unique and challenging times in our community's history. Together, we have overcome so much and are strong and moving forward as we worked to support those still recovering from the challenges that the pandemic brought to families, students, and business. There is still much work to do to overcome impacts from the pandemic, such as increasing mental health and substance abuse, supporting businesses and economic recovery, countering inflation, protecting our environment and Cape Cod Bay, and increasing affordable and workforce housing. The opportunity to serve this community has been an honor and a privilege, and I'm proud of all that we've been able to accomplish for Plymouth and appreciate your trust in electing me to serve you. There is still much work to do, and I ask for your vote on November 8, 2022, so I can continue to be your voice and advocate for the needs of the residents of the town of Plymouth. Together, let us keep progress moving. And thanks for your consideration. Thank you for tonight.
Thank you very much. That's the incumbent Republican, Matt Muratore, the 1st Plymouth District. You've been listening to a political conversation, not really a forum, because as we said, his opponent decided to leave after his opening statement. But we'll be hearing bits and pieces of this tomorrow on the air anyway. And I'd like to thank Charles Mathewson for asking questions with me and having a conversation. Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi as well. Lenny for timing, Larry for engineering. And remember, get out there on November 8th. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James. Thanks for listening.